All right. Have you ever been doing something and well, fill in the blank, whatever that something is, you're doing it and someone starts talking to you and you're sort of just nodding along, And then they walk off and you kind of find yourself going, "Wait, what'd they say? What was that about?" Or while talking to someone, you sort of zone out, thinking about something else. Maybe something they said pops a thought into your mind, and they're just keeping on going, but your thoughts over here, thinking about whatever it was that sent you down. And again, they're like, "Yeah, okay," and they smile, and you're kind of probably smiling the whole way because we've gotten really good at this. But you're left really confused. Like, wait, did I agree to something? I don't even remember what was really said. Or perhaps you're the one talking, and you can tell. Wait a second, I think this person's, they just left. And so you sort of just finished the conversation, but you know they're kind of looking past you or around you at this point. And it happens all the time. It probably happens in your life all the time. I know it happens in my life all the time, multiple perspectives. But just the other day, I was talking to my two sons. They're not here right now, so I can talk about them. You know me. I would talk about them if they were in the second row. But they're there, and I was like, "Yo, guys, I need you to do a couple things. First do this, first do this." But I actually filled in the blanks for them. But I'll explain to you why I just said it that way. Because I got no response, no recognition. And I was like, "Hey, stop playing your game and look at me." I think I might have had to say that a couple times. And they finally put their cards down, they looked up at me. And I was like, "What did I say?" And Logan heard part of it. He's like, "Dad, you said to clean up the CC stuff." I went close. I said, "Pick up all the shoes in the room." And Jace, he was like, yeah, I was going to say that. Sure you were. What'd I say next? I went, "Yeah, then go burn boxes." Oh, right. And I don't know about you, but I'm a lot like my sons. I can get distracted and lose focus pretty easily. You know what? I can read a book and two pages in, go, wait. I don't even remember what I just read, and I'm the one reading it, and I got distracted, and my mind was going somewhere else. So I can zone out with the best of them. Some of you are possibly just getting back into this conversation, so welcome back. We're still here. But you know what? Here's the even crazier thing. We can do this with God as well. And so for centuries, Christians have engaged in a practice to keep them focused, a kind of way to put our books down, to stop playing the game, to turn off the TV, to give up sugar, and focus on God. We call it fasting, right? Fasting. And today we're going to dive into God's word to see what is fasting really about. How do we seek the Lord through fasting? So let's discover what it is and why we do it. Let's just discover this morning what it is and why we do it. And I'm actually going to start with the why first. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there are blue ones in the seats in front of you. Go ahead and pull that out. If you don't own it, you can take that blue one and make it yours. But we're going to be in Matthew, first book of the New Testament. And this is, again, bringing us back to the Sermon on the Mount. We've been here a couple times in this sermon series already. One of Jesus' first real public teachings. Even though he's really teaching his disciples, but a large crowd had gathered. They're like, "Wait, we want to hear too." And so, as Jesus always does, he's like, "Yeah, that's great. You can sit and listen as well." And we're going to pick up in 16 to 18. And just to get you ready, we're also going to then jump to Acts. And then we're going to flip back to the Old Testament for Daniel. But we're going to start here. And here's what it says in Matthew 6, 16 to 18. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, so there's plenty you can do on that whole section of Scripture. Just that tiny bit. You can go a lot of different places. I'm going to focus on one phrase this morning out of that. If the Holy Spirit wants to take you somewhere else this week, follow him in it. But here's the phrase that was really lit for me. Is that Jesus says, when you fast. Notice it's not if you fast. It's when you fast. There's an assumption built into this. There's an expectation from Jesus himself that fasting is a regular part of our rhythm. Now, granted, because I can already hear it, you're like, wait, hold on a second. You always tell us to talk about context and who's he talking to. And so he's talking to a bunch of Jewish people, obviously. Maybe some Greeks in the mix, maybe some Romans in the mix, wanting to know what's going on. But largely he's talking to a population of Jewish people who would be practicing Judaism. And so we know that fasting happens throughout the calendar in Judaism. So maybe the question is, okay, well, if he's talking to this to his kind of followers at that point, and maybe some people who are still in that time sort of in the throes of Judaism, is this an expectation for people following Jesus post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-Judaism in this new thing called Christianity? What about for those who call themselves Christians? Because we know, going into the New Testament, that there were plenty of things in the Old Testament that people like Paul fight for to say, yeah, we don't have to put this on these people. Stop making them adhere to all the rules and the laws. Like, they don't have to become Jewish first. They just need to submit their lives to Christ as King and Lord. So is this one of those things that Paul himself would have packaged into that? No, that was a Jewish thing. Well, for that, we need to consider some followers of Jesus post-resurrection, when Christianity was a thing. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts. See now, with a couple followers of Jesus, what are they doing? And here we're going to pick up in the church in Antioch, church where Paul and Barnabas were pastoring for about a year, the church where these followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Seems like a good church to learn from. So Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. And let's see what's going on here in this church. Acts 13, 1 to 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul/Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Paul and Barnabas were no doubt busy in their roles as leaders, teachers in this church in Antioch. There was no lack of things to do. They could have easily gotten lost in the busyness of pastoring and shepherding this group of Christians within Antioch. And so what do we find them doing? We find them fasting. We find them fasting. Also worshiping and praying. But did you notice in that list of the three things that they said in fasting, worshiping, and praying, only one was listed twice. Fasting. Fasting amongst Christians. Fasting amongst one of the first church plants in the world. Fasting as a rhythm that they said, no, this isn't just a Jewish thing of connecting to the Lord. This is a human way of connecting to the Lord. Well, why are they fasting? Well, in this case, It seems to be they're seeking the Lord for direction, to intentionally give time for the Lord to speak and direct. See, the church, they weren't doing anything wrong that we know of. They weren't in any great sin that we're aware of. They weren't in a spiritual slump. If anything, they were exploding in Antioch. But Paul and Barnabas recognized the needed intentionality to seek the Lord and be focused to hear him speak. Maybe more so in success than even when you're not. Well, Lent begins in 3 days. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. First Wednesday of Lent, beginning of the Lent season. Lent, a time where we're intentionally seeking the Lord in a greater way, to kind of pause on some things and to be able to listen with more focus. The intention being to have more clarity in hearing from the Lord. And friends, I think Finland in many ways is right where Antioch was. Good things are happening here. People are being drawn to Christ. We're maturing as followers of Jesus, wanting to be closer to Christ. Seems like the perfect time to fast. 6 weeks to Easter. 6 weeks. 6 Sundays from now, we'll be celebrating the resurrection. Let's take these 6 weeks to fast. Right, can we do that as a faith family, as a congregation, to more intentionally seek the Lord? I think we can. I think it's going to be awesome. But wait, you might be thinking, I didn't even tell you what fasting is yet. I just told you why we do it. And now I'm signing you up to join me in a 6-week fast. And is the only reason to seek the Lord in fasting to more intentionally focus on hearing him and get direction? Or is there more to it? Are there other facets of fasting? Well, friends, those are great questions. And so to that, we're going to turn back to the Old Testament, to Daniel, where we're going to see some rhythms that Daniel practiced, where we get a little bit more insight into what he's doing and not only why he's doing it. So Daniel chapters 9 and 10. I invite you to turn there. If you go back to Matthew, Daniel really doesn't take long to get to because he's the last of the major prophets right before all the minor prophets. And all that means he's the last of the prophets that has more than like 4 or 5 chapters, because all the minor prophets are very short. Daniel has much more space than that. So find Daniel. He's going to be closer to Matthew than to the beginning of the Old Testament. And Daniel finds himself in exile. Daniel finds himself in exile. If you read through the book of Daniel, you know that as a young boy, right, 12 to 14 year old, he's taken from his homeland and put through a brainwashing seminar of all things Babylonian to try to convert him to be Babylonian. And he doesn't. Him and his 3 friends, wildly known for their faithfulness to God, even in the midst of this kind of temptation to do all things Babylonian. And it just fascinates me that they had such strength in their faith at 12 years old to be able to stay faithful. Right? To be able to stay faithful. And so we're years later. If you know the story, I don't really, he's much older now. When he's thrown into the lion's den, he's probably closer to 80. So 12 years old, taken into captivity, been in there ever since that. Now he's 80, was thrown into a lion's den, yet he's still seeking the Lord. He faithfully seeks the Lord. And so that's where we're going to pick up. We're going to read a little bit of Daniel 9, a little bit of Daniel 10. But here's what it says in Daniel 9. Verses 1 to 5. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realms of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him, keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. He goes on. The confession doesn't stop there. But we see in there another reason for fasting. Not just to receive direction, but to offer confession. And friends, if a man like Daniel can think of things to confess, you better believe any one of us in this room can as well. If Daniel can be humbled enough to admit sin before the Lord, then we ought to all as well. And not for a second think that we've somehow arrived past the place of needed confession. In fact, Jesus himself says something very similar to the idea of the power of fasting when it comes to confession, when it comes to overcoming sin. In Matthew and Mark, after his disciples fail to cast out a demon from somebody, they go, why weren't we able to do it? And Jesus says this kind can only come out with prayer and fasting. This kind can only come out with prayer and fasting. Friends, maybe you've found yourself frustrated, stuck in a particular sin pattern. You're like, I've tried it all. I've prayed. I've done books. I've had accountability. And yet I still can't seem to overcome this thing, whatever it is. Maybe it's you see greed in your heart that you don't like. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's envy. Maybe you find yourself and you can't help, you just gossip and you can't stop. Maybe it's lust. I don't know what it is. But I do know that many of us have these struggles. These things that we just fight and fight and fight and fight. Well, if you're stuck, if you can't seem to find anything, my encouragement to you would be that as we fast over the next 6 weeks, spend some time in deep confession over it with the Lord. And use your fasting as an opportunity to seek deliverance from the Lord through confession. Because some things just won't be overcome without prayer and fasting. The Dig Deeper sheet focuses on Daniel 9. And there's an activity on the back that's going to be a powerful way to fast that I encourage you to take. And if we run out of copies, we can print more and send it to you. But it's going to be powerful. It's going to be a good way to connect to the Lord. And you don't have to share with anybody. You have to write it to the Lord. Confess it to him. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. So we fast to receive direction and guidance. We fast to confess. Let's just flip over one page and read some out Daniel 10, and we'll hear another reason why we fast, and specifically some details on what fasting can look like. Here's what it says in Daniel 10. I'm going to read verses 1 to 14 and 21, skipping a little bit of the in-between details. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. Now, hold on, you might be thinking, didn't Jesus say that that makes him a hypocrite? Like, not necessarily. That would be if you're going around kind of like, oh, Mike, it's been so miserable. I've been fasting. I haven't had wine in forever, and I haven't showered, and I haven't, like, that would be what you'd have to do to get to that hypocrite level, right? You'd have to start almost bragging about it. We sense none of that from Daniel other than a sincere desire to seek the Lord, all right? Here's what it says. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. This is a great being. I believe this is Jesus coming to him. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep, with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I've come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. And just jump down to 21. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There's none who contends by my side except these, against these except Michael, your prince. So what's going on? Well, here Daniel's fasting because he's mourning. Right? He's mourning. He's mourning over this word, this vision that he's received, and he's seeking comfort and clarity. All right? So we can fast for direction. We can fast for confession. We also fast for comfort. I don't know about you, but I don't always turn to the word or to prayer or to fasting in particular when I feel like I need to be comforted. It's not usually on the top of my list. Good bowl of mashed potatoes. That sounds comforting. Sitting and watching a show or a movie with my family and snuggled under blankets, that sounds pretty comforting. Maybe going for a run or working out or fiddling with something to try to fix it. That sounds pretty comforting. Maybe going and sitting in the woods all by myself. That sounds comforting. What do you do for comfort? What do you do for comfort? What's your gut reaction to turn to? Say, I just need more of this. That'll help me. Sometimes I turn to cleaning because it just distracts me. And even though it's not like the same kind of comfort, it comforts me in a way because I don't have to think about whatever it was that has me fired up in the moment. What does Daniel do? He turns to the Lord with increased focus and attention. He actually leans into the mourning. He doesn't avoid it. He amplifies it. How? Well, he takes other comforts out of his life. That's how he amplifies it. For 3 weeks, no meat. For 3 weeks, no wine. For 3 weeks, no delicacies. No sugar, no desserts, no goodies. No anointing. No showers. No cologne, no perfume, no makeup. Wow. This, friends, is what fasting is. It's giving up our comforts, our preferences, good things, right? We're not giving up bad things in our life. We're giving up good things in our life and bad things. There are some things we just got to get rid of. But we're doing it to seek the Lord more in their absence. We fast from things to better feast on God's word. See, if we're always full and content, and our time is filled with consuming, then we're like my boys playing the game when I was trying to talk to them. Like on Thanksgiving, when you're crashed out on the couch after stuffing yourselves with turkey, mashed potatoes, and stuffing. Right, so fasting is a break from things that distract and make us dull to the Lord. That's what fasting is. For me, one of those things is fantasy football. I should start a fantasy football anonymous group because I'm not the only one in here. And now I'm in a thing called dynasty leagues, which means it never ends. There's never an off season. The team just keeps going. And in the off season, you can make trades and you can trade draft picks and you can do all these things and it can become like, wow. And I know it distracts me. It can make me dull because if I'm getting bored, I can turn to that. Well, I can't anymore because I decided that that's got to be fasted. As one of the maybe not so good things that I've allowed into my life. I'm not going to say it's a sin necessarily, but I am going to say I've allowed it way too much space in my mind, way too much space in my emotional side of things. And so I'm going to fast from it. Probably until after the NFL draft. So I'm on like day four. Yesterday I was like, this is crazy. It's not even caffeine. So what is it for you? What is it for you? Shout out some things that could be something in your life that is maybe a good thing, but it distracts you and makes you dull to the Lord. Or if you want to less personalize it, could distract somebody. It makes somebody more dull to the Lord. TV. Chocolate. Is that chocolate again? All right, just raise your hands. Chocolate. Sweets. Anybody else? Coffee. Uh-oh, did I say that? Social media, busyness, electronics. What about a car? A dirty car. So we're going to see your car the dirtiest we've ever seen it in 6 weeks. Is that what you're telling us, Hal? We're going to fast from cleaning? Maybe Brandon will join you on that one. I don't know if you ever seen Brandon's car, but it is like looks like it's showroom level quality every day of the week. What else? What are some other things we can fast from? Sports. Television. Sometimes I fast from reading nothing except the Bible because I can get too caught up in other books, other people's perspectives on the Bible instead of just engaging the word for myself. What I encourage you to do, friends, is to come up with a fasting plan for the next 6 weeks. Daniel, and I'll go over some different versions. Daniel, he picked three types of things. Right? Delicacies, meat, and wine. So it didn't mean he gave up eating. He still ate, just not meat. He still drank and consumed liquids. It just wasn't wine. Right? So no delicacies. He said, I'm going to keep those from me. So I don't know if he did like another vegetable thing like he did earlier in his life. And he's like, actually, that worked out well. And so just give me veggies and water. Maybe ate some bread too. Bread was probably a popular item back then. So he still ate. He still nourished himself. He just kept some of those things away. So maybe for you, you pick three things. One time I did it, I gave up cheese. That was on the top of my list. Of all the food I could think of that I would miss the most, cheese was at the top of the list. And I was angry for 4 days because I couldn't have cheese. And you think I'm kidding. You're like, I can't believe he's getting angry. Wait till you give up your delicacy of choice and see how you feel 4 days into it. But fight through it. Fight through the temptation. Get through that, and then you're on the other side of it. Where it's like, oh. And I'm not even getting angry at other people for eating cheese anymore. It's like, no, eat that cheese. Love it. Appreciate it. I'm okay now. I'm past the Hulk rage mode. What are the three things for you? Maybe that's the path you want to take. Because some people can't just like give up a meal or a day of eating. It just doesn't work for various reasons. So don't constrain yourself to that. And maybe it's cable. Maybe it's, for me, I already told you, one of mine is going to be fantasy football. For you, maybe it's cable. Maybe it's certain book series or things. What is it that you turn to? That's really the place to start. What do you turn to? You go, now I feel like I'm at a place of comfort because I had this. What is that? And then fast from it so that it can't be an option. That's one type. I call it the Daniel type. Three things. Maybe it's pick a meal. Not a whole day. Maybe it is a whole day. Maybe you do want to do the I'm just going to fast for 24 hours. My dad once fasted for a week doing nothing but fruit juice. Fresh juice. All he did for a week. And juice fasted. So he still consumed things. It was just juice. But kind of good quality juice. I find it helpful to pick a meal. And so in addition to the fantasy football, I'll probably be picking two meals a week to fast from. And why do I do that? Because it's easier for me to more intentionally then utilize that time to seek the Lord. Because if I don't, if I just give up three things, then I can find myself just still going through the rhythms. I'm just a little bit more cranky because I gave up three things. And then eventually I get over it, and then it's just kind of like but I'm not filling that space with anything. So like now, every time I feel like, oh, open up the fantasy football app, I go, no, who can I pray for right now? Lord, is there something you want to say to me right now? And I begin filling that urge by turning to the Lord. And so for me, having a clear meal is really helpful in that. So maybe it's a lunch. All right, for 30 minutes, I'm not eating, and I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to have my Bible out. I'm going to have my journal out. I'm going to be taking notes. The type of fast isn't what's important. The intentionality is. Right? The type isn't important. I'm not sharing mine because I'm trying to brag. I'm just trying to give examples. So you don't need to be telling everybody what it is you're doing. It's not the point. The point is, can we intentionally do this to seek the Lord, to seek him for counsel? Lord, I need direction. Lord, this is your house. What do you want me to do with it? Lord, my bank account is yours. Is there something you need me to spend this on for your kingdom and your glory? We seek the Lord for confession. Lord, I can't seem to get past this thing, and I need to confess this to you. I know you know already, but I got to confess it anyway. And maybe the Holy Spirit, you need to show me something in my heart that I'm still unaware about. It's a blind spot to me, but I need you to reveal it so that I can then confess it to you, so that you can deliver me from it, and I can become more like Jesus. And we fast for comfort, to seek the Lord, not the things of this world, to comfort us. We can look around our world. There's plenty of things to mourn over. Brokenness of society, how far apart people seem to be getting, the amount of wars that are still ravaging our world, human trafficking that seems to be at an all-time high. Like, there are things that we can mourn about, and we don't want to distract ourselves from it. We want to amplify it, so that we then turn to the Lord with more fervor. Fasting, the right intentionality, creates in us a greater hunger for the Lord. God wants you to know him, to hear him speak, to seek out his presence. You may say, well, how do you know? say, because of the cross is how I know. Because he sent his son to die in our place so that we could be restored to him, to know him, and to do life with him. So let's seek him through fasting, to seek his counsel for our own lives and also for our collective lives as a congregation, to seek him through honest confession, to seek him for comfort when we look around at our world, our communities, our country, and mourn at where we've gotten as a human race. And here's what else I know. If we seek him in this way, he'll speak, and we'll hear it. If we seek him in this way, he'll deliver us from those sins that we can't seem to overcome, and he'll heal us. If we seek him in this way, he will direct us and lead us on an amazing adventure for our good and his glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this invitation, and pray that our ears would be open wide, our hearts would be just filleted and split wide open for you in these 6 weeks. As we seek you, Lord, in fasting, in prayer, in confession, in surrender. As we seek you in your word, Lord, pray that you would speak. We would hear you. We would see you. We would become more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.